The scripture reading tonight will be from Psalms 148, verses 1 through 2. Psalms 148, 1 through 2. Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights, praise Him, all His angels, praise Him, all His hosts.
Sunday evenings, we spend some time digging deeper into the scriptures, covering deeper subject matter sometimes. Sometimes it's a passage of scripture and we'll dig a little deeper within it. Sometimes it is a little more of a word study, and sometimes it's just topical. And tonight, we're going to study a little bit more about angels. Did a lesson a couple of months back on angels, and we specifically looked at the angel of the Lord. And so this evening, if you'll bear with me, we will look into angels, the ministers of heaven. There is no telescope that can locate the great and high wall that's mentioned there in Revelation 21 and verse 12, behind which the angels live. But the Bible does give us some insight as to angels, and there are some things certainly that are hidden to us, but there are some things that we can truly know. And so I want to put some of those things together for some thoughts tonight. And this material is not all original with me. Some of it I've put together and from different resources. Some of this has come, a good portion of this has come from Dan Winkler's, or the Winkler's family, Life Studies in Christ, I think, or something like that is what the title of it is. But their class book series, they had a class book on angels. And so some of the material came from that as well. And so I want to give them proper credit for their writing. There's a number of writings out there when you go and study this. And so there again, with any of it and anything that I may even mention tonight too, compare it to the scriptures. And so that's what we always have to do. The activities of angels probably go undetected by the majority of senses that we have, that we might think we would be able to see or to know or to feel some particular thing and to know that we have an angel with us or something like that. And you hear all sorts of ideas that are out there. And so one of the things that certainly stands out on the outset of this is that angels are supernatural spirits. The Hebrews writer is very clear in this. Hebrews 1, beginning in verse 5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire." And the verse 13 and 14 of that same chapter give us some insight as well. In verse 14 specifically, it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" And so we're talking about supernatural, spiritual, created beings of God. They are not limited to the laws of nature. They have the ability, God-given ability, to go beyond even the law of physics. You think about physics, just simply a study of matter and motion concerning space and time, I guess in comparison to space and time. They can be, in fact, in the very presence of God one minute. And we read in something like Daniel 9, 20 through 23, where he is at the side of man in the very next minute. Daniel 9, 20 through 23. They're not limited to the law of quantum physics, which is a study of the behavior of matter as it interacts with energy on a scale of atoms and subatomic particles. Now, the only reason I say that is because we have laws that have been, that we live within those bounds, and to make the point that they live outside of those. They have those abilities. They live and are not limited to the laws of biophysics, study of molecular organisms, bridging the gap between physics and biology, in other words. And so, what are we talking about? They inexplicably are able to transmigrate in and out of the universe without being seen, according to, again, Hebrews 1 and verse 14. They are spirit beings, not material beings. And so 2 Kings 6, verses 14 through 16. And so, again, these are just looking at where they stand as we stand as created beings. We are within the realm of those laws that are there. But they have the ability to work outside of those laws. And so they are supernatural spiritual beings created by God. One of the things that I think is important to understand is there are some similarities. And they are created beings just like you and me. Sometimes you'll hear a phrase, probably in the very innocence and trying to help folks through grieving times and things like that, and maybe especially during the funerals of a child, someone might say, well, I guess God needed yet another angel or something, some phrase similar to that. But to be true to our study, angels are not disembodied spirits of good people that have gone to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. And so we have to be careful about using phrases like that and saying those things. They are much, much more than that. And knowing that they are much, much more than that, it should give us some comfort as well. First of all, they are created beings. Praise the Lord, the psalmist wrote. Praise Him, all His angels praise Him. For He commanded and they were created. Again, from Psalm 148, verses 1 and 2, and then looking at verse 5 as well. So the question is asked, Brother Winkler asked this question, did God scoop up a handful of sand from the shore of the Crystal Sea and shape, craft their shape into being? Did He just speak them into existence like the light of creation's first day? Did He breathe across heaven's street of gold and will them into existence? There again, those are details we're not privy to. The secret things still will remain secret unto God, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. And so we're not privy to those details. We do know, however, they praised God when He laid the foundations of the earth, Job 38, verses 4 through 7, Genesis 1, verse 1. And so they came to be at the beginning of the 6 days of creation, according to Exodus 20 and verse 11. Beyond that, we really have to be kind of satisfied, I guess, with just knowing that they, like us, owe their existence to a Creator, to the God of heaven. Second thing we need to note is angels are created spiritual beings. You and I are a spirit housed within a physical body, according to James 2 and verse 26. And accordingly, we read of where Paul would write about the outward man perishing and talk about this tent that we are in, the body, in contrast, though, to the inward man being renewed day by day, talking about not just then a physical, but a spiritual being inside a physical body. But angels are different. And although they occasionally have appeared in the form of man, according to Genesis 18, Genesis 22, Genesis 19, Mark 16, 5, numerous other passages show us this. One of the things that seems very clear is they live above the limitations of the physical body, as well as beyond the purpose of that physical body, which is has to do with procreation, which is a human trait, which also implies death. So there are a couple things to think about in that. They live above the limitations of the physical body. In other words, they have been created and they do not die. But also then, they are asexual beings. In other words, again, living above the physical body in that way. Third thing that we might notice is that angels are created spiritual beings who also differ from one another. Just as you and I have different personalities and different characteristics, the angels seem to as well. We're introduced to the archangel, Michael, and Jude, verse 9, Revelation 21, verse 7. A special messenger named Gabriel, who comes on the scene to help hasten on, if you will, the birth of even John the Baptist and our Lord. Luke 1, verse 19 and verse 26. They differ then in personality. We see those who are named specifically. They differ in position. You have those who are referred to as the chief princes. Daniel 10, verse 13, seems to be a mention of an angel or those angels there. You have the seraphim who are above the throne of God, Isaiah 6. You have the cherubim who are below the very throne of God, Ezekiel 10, Psalm 18, verse 10. The words that we come across in our New Testaments, principality and power and might and dominion, those will be words that should be recognizable to us. They should mean something to us. But they can also be understood as a reference to the different ranks, if you will, that might exist with God's celestial army. You'll find those 1 Peter 3, verse 22, Ephesians 1, and verse 21. And so, what are we talking about? Angels are created beings, created spiritual beings, however, similar to us, yet different. Number two, angels have feelings and emotions, just like we do as well. In Milan, there is a painting of a little cherub with Golgotha's crown of thorns on his head, and it has that appearance like he's unable, of course, they're unable to feel pain. They live, again, beyond the physical limitations of the body. And the cherub looks confused in the painting, maybe trying to understand our Lord's agony that he was going through. But without a body, angels have no way of experiencing physical sensations of our world. But as spiritual beings or as spirit beings, they can share emotions that we encounter. They have feelings, in other words. They can be excited and happy. Remember the angel's birth announcement of Jesus. And with great enthusiasm, in Luke chapter 2 is where we find this, verse 10 and 12. I bring you glad tidings of great joy, the angel would announce. Luke 2, verses 10 through 12. You might remember the celestial multitude that appeared out of nowhere at the same occasion who are praising God and saying, and that literally in that passage, and that's in Luke 2, verses 13 and 14. Literally in that passage, they are continually praising God and continually saying. And so here's the celestial host of heaven, this angelic army, if you will, who are there continuing to praise God and continuing to say this, glory to God in the highest and on peace, goodwill toward men. The heavenly host, I would say, was excited about the birth of our Savior. And on the very same note, we can see in Luke chapter 15, those lost items that we read about on those three occasions, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents, Luke 15 and verse 10. And so they revel in our redemption. They find joy in that, and great joy and excitement in knowing that the Savior was bringing peace to earth. On a negative note, and the second thing we might notice under this, is that angels can be covetous and even proud. And so we find the other side of this as well. There are those who rebelled against the original status for which they were designed. They did not keep their proper domain. In fact, Jude verse 6 reads, and as a result, we find God cast them down to hell, delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. The one we know as the devil was no doubt among that number, if not, in fact, leading the rebellion. Remember the qualifications of an elder has this trait that you might remember. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation of the devil. And so we can see that on the negative side of this, while they have feelings and emotions, they can also be led to covetousness and pride. They are also curious. And this to me is one of the interesting points. Angels are curious. They desire to look into. I want you to read with me 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, But unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things, notice this phrase, the angels desire to look into. The angels desire to look in. They're curious about these things. All the benefits that are afforded mankind by the gospel, they are curious of. They desire to look into those things, to see those things. But the word is painted a little differently than that. Or maybe a deeper scene is painted when you understand the word. The word desire here translates a verb that suggests that the angels are passionately interested in God's scheme of redemption. And so the words they desire to look into literally translates a verb which has this is the word picture. They're standing on the edge and looking down into. That's the word picture that's drawn. They look into these things. They desire to look into these things. And so angels are curious. They desire to look into these benefits that are given to mankind through the gospel. Isn't that amazing when you think about that angels desire to see the salvation for mankind and to know something of those things and to see the realm of hope that it brings about to mankind through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number three, angels are religious beings. You might say, just kind of keeping the theme here, they are religious, spiritual, created beings. Reportedly in a cathedral in France, Dijon, France, there is an angel, a figurine at the base of the pulpit in that cathedral. And the angel is holding a tablet in one hand, probably not an iPad, but a tablet, probably a stone tablet of some kind, and a pen or a pencil in the other, and looking up at the pulpit. That's an interesting thought, because as if it's listening to and recording all that the speaker has to say, they are religious, spiritual, created beings. They too worship God, right? And so there's interest in that for them. The New Testament presents angels in a similar way, thinking about their religious nature, if you will. They have an interest in Jesus in this way. They think about with all the things that were transpiring over the Old Testament time period, all those things coming about. We read passages like Galatians 4 and verse 4 that reminds us when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, born under the law. What does that tell us? That under the fullness of time, when as time was marching on, and understanding that angels are outside of the physical limitations, they too, living outside of that time span that we're bound by, understand that they too are seeing those things transpire. And they desire to look into those things. But I have to wonder that over the period of time looking at mankind and being dispatched and being used by God in numerous ways to not only to deliver His law to His people, but also to be able to minister and help His people of the Old Testament. And the lessons that must have been there and to see those things come about in the transpiring of time, bringing about the Messiah. And so that just kind of sets the stage even much more by the time we read Peter making this statement that angels desire to look into those things. They've been watching all the planning come about. They've been watching the very plan of God unfold for mankind all of this time. And so we read passages like 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16 when it talks about Christ manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, and seen by angels. We know that they announced His birth, Luke 10, or 2, verses 10 through 14. They ministered to His needs after He had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. They reinforced His broken heart in Luke 22 and verse 43. They opened His tomb, Matthew 28, 1 and 2. They announced His resurrection. Again, Matthew 28, 1 to 6. They predicted his second coming in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. So it's not surprising, I don't think, to learn that they will accompany him in his return. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1, or rather verses 7 through 8, being involved in the judgment of mankind in that way. Second, not only then do angels have an interest in the Messiah, in Christ, but also they have an interest in worship. Jesus said God is spirit. They that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. John 4 and verse 24. We too are to worship God. Philippians 3 and verse 3. Worship God in spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 19. Worship God in truth. Matthew 15 verses 8 through 9. John 17, 17. Thy word is truth. And so it should be observed in the same way that angels worship God. Revelation chapter 5 gives us a picture of that very thing. From our scripture reading earlier in Psalm 148 verses 1 and 2, the same picture is given there. Hebrews 1 verse 6, angels worship God. Angels worship God in spirit, evidenced by the words they employ. Glory to God, worthy is the Lamb. Luke 2 and verse 14, Revelation 5 verse 12. And angels worship God in truth, proved by their refusal to accept worship of themselves. Numerous passages might be looked at in that, where they stopped men from worshiping them because they are not God. Third, the angels interested in the Messiah, interested in the Christ. They are interested in worship, but as we've noticed, they're interested in the redemption of man as well. Again, Luke 15 gives us that picture, verse 7, verse 10, that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. Their desire to look into those things for our salvation, and that they rejoice with us over the sinner who would repent and come back to God. Angels without number, in fact, an innumerable host. Hebrews 12, verse 22. Luke 2 and verse 13. One of the things we notice in Scripture also then, number 4, is that angels can sin, like you and me. Reportedly, Michelangelo praised the sculpted angel of a young artist, and he says, "It only lacks life. If it had life, it would be as perfect as God himself could make it." God is certainly the one who gave angels life. But he gave them more than just life. He gave them volition. He gave them free will. He gave them choice. And by giving them choice, tragically, some made the wrong choice. They can sin. Think about much the same way. There are the desires of the mind, those lusts that are there. And so that's for mankind. They're outside the limitations of a physical body in that way. And yet they still are vulnerable to the desires of the mind. They're guilty of insubordination. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, Jude 6, they pervert God's will. Galatians 1 and verse 8, you have that statement where Paul says, "I marvel you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there would be those who would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Galatians 1 verses 6 through 8. There are three basic words that we use to talk about sin. We talk about the word transgression, the word iniquity, and the word sin itself. Transgression is literally rebellion. Psalm 51 gives that picture of that word when David is writing that psalm. David is expressing his heartfelt contrition to God. and uses the word that he has transgressed. He rebelled, in other words. And Jude 6 gives that picture of angels who rebelled. And the word iniquity, it's a perversion of that which is right. And I know these are closely related, but the words are used. Even David uses the word, this word as well in Psalm 51, this time verse 2, verse 5 and verse 9, he would use this word, transgression, but also iniquity, a perversion of that which is right. And angels could have done just that. That they could have twisted some portion of God's word that they were commissioned to reveal, according to Galatians 1 verse 8. Then the word sin, to miss the mark. It's interesting because David uses that word as well in Psalm 51 verse 3. And so we find 2 Peter 2 and verse 4 reminds us that unfortunately angels too have sinned. But I want us to think about angels and the impossibility of their redemption. Here's where there's a huge difference between us. In Christ, you and I have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace, Ephesians 1:7, numerous other passages. And for that, we should be ever grateful. But I want you to read with me Hebrews 2, verses 16 and 17. Hebrews 2, verse 16 and 17. For indeed he does not give aid to his angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. There's a stark difference in that. A reference to those children of God, considered now to be the spiritual seed of Abraham. For indeed he does not give aid to angels. But he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. God does not give that same aid to his angels. Not blessed with an opportunity to start over as you and me. Being made a little higher than man, I would say more would be expected of them. Luke 12 and verse 48, to whom much is given, much will be required. There's a greater responsibility. Their expectation, God's expectation of them is greater. Angels, the ministers of heaven, it's to me an interesting and intriguing type of study, very unique when you study the Bible and you talk about these things and you try to put all of these things together. But in many ways, these angels, the ministers of heaven, are much like you and me. But also, we need to think about that we might need to be like them. You know, we sometimes say that about our children. Oh, such sweet little angels, right? We all need to be sweet little angels in that way. But you think about the angels, they directed people to Jesus in Luke chapter 2. And we too should be doing the same, showing Jesus to others. Angels were captivated by Jesus, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. And we like they should be so focused on our Lord that we think like Him, that our lives are saturated with Him and with His Word and with His ways. Angels respect the authority of Jesus, and we talked about that this morning, that we too should respect the authority of Jesus. He is the head over all things to the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Angels worship God. They worship Jesus even, the very Lamb of God. Revelation 5, verse 11 and 12, they are praising the very Lamb of God in those passages. Chapter 7 of Revelation 9 through 12. Colossians 1:16. So we like they should make certain that our worship, those things that come from our lips, also come from our hearts. Matthew 15:9, Colossians 3:16 through 17. Sometimes we look at those passages and we just talk about the singing aspect of Colossians 3:16. But the praise that is given is a praise that is seen in heaven daily, continually, praising and saying, glory to God in the highest. They praise Him continually in that way. Hope that we learn from the angels as well. Lessons that we need to learn that we might focus our attention on Christ and the things of the kingdom and the blessings that are therein and the salvation that's been afforded to us. Those things that angels desire to look into. And this evening, if you have a need, we're here to encourage you as the body of Christ to repent, to be faithful in your living unto God, and to learn these lessons that we might as well show Christ to the world. To those who have never obeyed the gospel, if you'll believe Jesus to be the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized to wash away your sins, our Lord Jesus will add you unto His church, Acts 2 and verse 47. If there's a way that we can encourage you or help you, come to the front while we stand and while we sing.